This is the Everything Financial Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. Welcome. We have a little different format for you this week on our podcast. We have two guest experts that we'll be interviewing in light of what's been going on in the stock markets, just to get you more perspectives. Joining me on today's podcast just momentarily will be Mr. Ian Gordon. Ian is the founder and president of the Long Wave Group, and he has been a great forecaster through the years based on cycles. And joining me on the second podcast this week will be Dr. A. Gary Schilling, who is a Forbes columnist and also a terrific forecaster. So have a couple really good podcasts packed with information this week. Let me remind you that if you'd like some additional resources to help you navigate what we believe will be a very difficult environment for investors moving ahead, you could subscribe to my weekly market analysis. That's a free newsletter titled Portfolio Watch. You can get a copy of that emailed to you every week free. All you have to do to get it is visit the website, yourretirementoutlook.com, and sign up for it. The website, again, Y-O-U-R, that's yourretirementoutlook.com. Also, if you've not yet requested your free Investors Discovery Kit, I would encourage you to do that. You can get that by simply visiting the website, investingapproach.com. The website, again, is investingapproach.com. I have joining me once again on the Everything Financial Radio program one of our favorite guests, Mr. Ian Gordon. Ian's blog can be read at longwavegroup.com. And Ian, welcome back to the program.
Well, again, thank you very much for having me, Dennis.
Ian, with what's been going on in the markets here over the past couple of weeks, you were on in June and said the next downturn, it was your view that there was going to be no holding it back. I guess my question for you is, has it started?
I'm absolutely convinced that it has started, and we're going to see a bloodbath in the equity markets here. I mean, we're getting rallies here, and those are typical, when you get those huge declines because people are short and they have to cover their short positions. I'm sure some of the decline, too, is helped by the plunge protection team, and I know a lot of people scoff at the idea that there is a group that that comes in and sort of tries to prop up markets when they're going down in a big way, but we know that President Reagan set up that group and to hold back after the 87 crash, hold back anything like that. So I'm sure you've got sort of assistance of the Treasury and the Federal Reserve and so on, helping it, propping up the stock market here. But from my perspective, and I'm a cycles guy, from my perspective, the cycle is over, and all the propping up will do nothing. And eventually, we're going to see, as I say, a bloodbath in the equity markets.
Ian, you mentioned margin debt, and for our listeners that aren't familiar, that's debt that's really acquired to buy securities. Margin debt is at an all-time high, so how low do we go here?
Well, it's I think really, what the stock markets are telling us, it's the end of the credit bubble. And basically, that means, from my perspective, it's at the end of the fiat paper money system. That whole system is going to collapse. So one could argue that effectively once paper money does collapse, and it always has, we've talked in previous interviews, Dennis, about the John Law paper money scheme in France and then the Assignat paper money scheme in France and so on. Once that collapse happens, it's hard to see that it maybe even stock markets won't even survive, at least things like the Dow and so on may not even survive this. I mean, this is going to be cataclysmic. I mean, this is going to be far worse than the 30s because the debt is much more horrendous. World debt right now is at $200 trillion. World debt, if you look at it, since 2007, when they tried to keep the system going, world debt has increased by $57 trillion since 2007, and that's a 40% increase. And So that whole system is collapsing. I mean, China's been the most, you know, the country that's added to its debt by the greatest amount, from $7 trillion to $28 trillion in that time. So, and paper money is credit money. So what we're seeing really is the whole credit system is going to collapse. So all paper monies are going to collapse. And whenever they have collapsed in history, we've always gone back to gold. And the country that can probably lead us back to gold will be China, because she's been accumulating so much.
So, Ian, when you say that paper money is credit money, for our listeners that don't understand that, maybe another way to phrase that would be that today's money actually is debt. And you can correct me if you don't agree, but maybe just expand on what that means for our listeners that don't understand.
Well, every dollar that is issued is a debt dollar, and I mean, for instance, let's make it very simple. If someone buys a house and, you know, can't put the money down, let's say they buy a $1 million home and they only want to put down $500,000. They've got to give the buyer $1 million for that home, and the seller $1 million for that home. So the buyer then goes to the bank and basically gets credited the $500,000. That's just being made out of nothing. That's just being credited. So it's everything like auto loans, mortgage loans. Everything, all that paper is just simply being created out of nothing, and so essentially just about every dollar that's in circulation is a debt dollar.
So, Ian, let's talk about if there's going to be, as you talk about, this cataclysmic correction in equities. And I've heard you state before that it's your view that the Dow probably goes back to 1,000. Is that a forecast that you're sticking to?
Well, you know, as I said just a minute ago, it could be worse than that, but certainly 1,000 is an easy number to go back to, because we, you know, 1,000 was such a resistance level for so long on the Dow. I mean, from 1966 till 1982, the Dow effectively hit 1,000, I think, 12 times, but never got through. It was only in 82 that it did finally pass through. So those resistance levels become support levels on the downside. So that's why I picked 1,000. But there are others, you know, Robert Prechter, who I have a lot of time for, is picking 400 on the Dow. I mean, this is going to be the biggest bear market in history that we're going to go through in the stocks, because it's going to effectively tell us that the whole credit system is going to collapse. Debt is collapsing here. And that's and the stock market is going to manifest that, which means also that we're going to go into a depression that's going to be far worse than the 1930s.
So, Ian, take someone that's managing money. This is scary stuff. Where do you find refuge?
Well, the only refuge that I truly believe is, and people, you know, I mean, a lot of people, certainly people managing money, are going to find this very difficult to comprehend. The only refuge that I see is gold, because gold is the ultimate money. And as I said, we are going to go back. I'm very confident in making this prediction. When the credit money system collapses, we are going to go back to a gold-backed money system, and that enforces the discipline. And the Chinese are probably going to lead us back to that system, because they have been accumulating vast amounts of gold. So you know, gold is going to be treated as money, and paper is going to be treated as debt.
So, Ian, back in the 30s, to go back and look at a parallel, you know, you look at some of the highly rated corporate bonds that were good places to be. Do you think that will still be a refuge, or do you think that there will be no place safe in that arena?
I really think that there's no safe place, because bonds are debt. And so if you take... You know, if you purchase a good corporate debt, you're still purchasing debt, and the whole system is collapsing. The debt system is collapsing, and this is the real fear, you know, and people should be scared. We are going to see a complete monetary reset, and I've written about this on my, you know, in my writings, that every time at this point in the cycle, we always have a monetary reset. In the 30s, the monetary reset was out of gold into paper. And now we're going out of paper back to gold, I'm sure of it.
So, Ian, is there a time historically when we've seen a similar reset, money to gold, maybe not to this extreme, but is there anything you could compare this to?
Well, we went to, you know, 1873, in the previous, what I call the long wave winter cycle, the whole world went to gold. So we went gold, 1873, to paper, 1931-33, and now the world will be drawn back to gold. And God help those countries that don't have any gold.
So, Ian, aside from, you know, having our listeners consider adding gold to their portfolios or maybe going to gold, you've got to then take the next step and say, what about the banking system? We saw a financial crisis in 2007-2008. Are we going to see just a major destruction of the banking system like we've seen in 1837 and 1933 and so on?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, banks are the great creditors. They're the great lenders. And so when the system collapses, you know, effectively the banks were bankrupted in 2008. The Federal Reserve bailed them out. They not only bailed out American banks, but they bailed out foreign banks as well. So, you know, when the whole system starts collapsing and the debt bubble starts collapsing, the banks are going to be in dire straits too, I believe.
I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen, and I have the pleasure of chatting today with Mr. Ian Gordon. Ian is the founder and president of the Long Wave Group. You can read his blog at longwavegroup.com. And we're chatting with Ian today, if you're just joining us, about what's been going on in the stock market. And Ian is predicting literally a collapse of the credit system. And that will be, as I think, Ian, you said, a bloodbath for equities, if I'm not mistaken.
I think those are the words I used, yes.
So, Ian, when you look at this reset, let's talk about timing. I mean, how long will it take for this debt to be purged from the system, and what will be the symptoms that everyday Americans or Canadians or whoever will be forced to live with?
Well, if we look, again, a really good example. I mean, the whole purpose of the what I call the long wave winter is to purge the economy of debt. And what's happened, and so that effectively occurred after 1873, you know, when there was a massive amount of money lent to build railways in the United States. And then it occurred again after 1929 when the money the U.S. was the biggest creditor nation, so money was lent all over the world by the United States and the U.S. banking system. And so that system, that debt collapsed, and it took down the U.S. banking system between 1929 and 1933. 10,000 U.S. banks failed in that time. So the idea here was that, you know, the Federal Reserve and other central banks refused to allow the purging of debt. So all they did, as we said in the first segment, was to create even more debt to try and keep the debt system going. So as I said, between 2007 and 2014, $51 trillion of debt was added into the world economies. That was a 40% increase on world debt, which is now at $200 trillion. So they resisted the purging of debt at this period, so that now we have a mammoth debt bubble that is going to burst and will take down the economies. All the economies of the world will be taken down with this, and the banking systems will collapse, and out of this will evolve a new currency system based on gold.
So, Ian, is this a, you know, if you look at 29 to 33, that was a really 4 years of hell. Are we going to see a longer time frame this time, in your view?
I think it could be, you know, I really don't know. I think, I mean, China has the wherewithal to peg the yuan to gold right now. She's got enough gold. We're not talking about the amount that she just identified as being her gold holdings. It's pretty clear that she has significantly more. I mean, I've seen arguments that China has, you know, 10,000, even 20,000 tons of gold. So she has the wherewithal to back her currency with gold. And, of course, if she did that, that would absolutely destroy the dollar, presuming that the U.S. doesn't have the gold she purports to own.
And there's certainly been a number of reasons to believe that the United States doesn't own the gold that she supposedly reports that she does. I'm sorry,
well,
go
right.
ahead, please.
You know, I mean, we know that, A, she couldn't send gold back to Germany when Germany wanted her gold back. We know that, effectively, the U.S. has been trying to control the gold price on the COMEX, a paper market. And, you know, because the gold is really the measure of the dollar. The gold price is the measure of the dollar. So that the U.S. wants to retain that the reserve currency, the petrodollar status for the dollar. She's fast losing it, but, I mean, she still wants to retain it because it's an extraordinary privilege to have that. You can create dollars to pay for your goods, whereas everybody else has to earn their dollars to pay for their goods.
So, Ian, let's talk about some specific symptoms. Do you expect then to see a significant deflationary environment like we saw in the 30s?
Actually, it really depends. I mean, if China goes back and pegs her currency to gold, those countries that don't have gold will have an inflation because no one will trust their currencies. So they will have to pay with a currency, pay for their imports and so on, for food and petroleum products and so on, with currencies that no one trusts. So that, you know, the value, you know, the currencies will decline precipitously. Also, who's going to lend to countries where they don't have the gold to back their currency? So who's going to lend the $18 trillion that the U.S. debt bubble is at the present time? Who's going to lend that to the U.S. if she doesn't have the gold?
So let's talk about everyday Americans and what they might see moving ahead. Obviously, unemployment, obviously those numbers get worse.
Significantly worse. I mean, we reached 25% in the U.S., 25% unemployment by 1933. I think the numbers are going to be increased quite dramatically beyond that, and those numbers are going to be apparent worldwide. So everybody's going to, and that's the symptom of a depression, is people are just thrown out of work. So, I mean, the most important thing, I think, you know, seeing that we're having a credit bubble bursting is one wants to remove as much debt from one's balance sheet as we can.
Well, Ian, we have just about a minute left in this segment or so. Let me again remind the listeners that you can read Ian's blog at longwavegroup.com. I would encourage you to do that. And, Ian, it's always terrific to have you on the program. And as we see economic events unfold, we'd love to have you back.
Well, thank you for having me, Dennis. And I wish all your listeners the very best of luck.
And we look forward to having you back as well. Also, if you'd like to get my weekly market analysis, I have a free newsletter that I'd love to share with you. All you have to do to get a free subscription is visit YourRetirementOutlook.com. That's Y-O-U-R, YourRetirementOutlook.com, and sign up for it, and we'll be glad to share it with you.